This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
Think, wow, you know, my younger self wouldn't have seen that in the future. You know, I just thought I was going to be a raver till the end in that way. And I am a raver till the end, but just in a purer way now. So yeah, I'm really proud of that, actually. I'm proud of what I've achieved. And I just want to bring more people into the fold. Like, for me, it's about connection. Everything is about connection and community. Like, we've started this off, it's not for profit. Like, just want to do, it's a social movement.
This week's guest on Over the Influence, DJ Kay Marie, otherwise known as Lovely Kelly Marie, who is based on the Wirral in Merseyside, just coming up to about a year alcohol-free. Big clubber. Teenage years, started with the underage drinking, partying, clubbing. Kelly is a massive house music lover and partied and clubbed all over the UK and in Ibiza as well. But as you'll hear during the course of this episode, Kelly got into her 30s and thought, you know what? Yeah, not as impressed with it these days, and started experimenting a little bit with alcohol-free weekends here and there, and then longer stints. And then when she hit her 40th, or at least about to, she says, you know what, I'm going to try a whole year without alcohol. It's a lovely story, and it's basically further proof, I suppose, that you don't need to hit a terrible life-changing rock bottom in order to change your relationship with alcohol. You can just simply make that decision and see where it takes you. Where it's taken Kelly, now organising alcohol-free sober events on the White Isle of Ibiza. Enough talking from me. Kelly's got so much to share. Let's get into this week's episode.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Becky, and I was a typical grey area drinker. I'd managed to do several stints of alcohol-free life, but would regularly falter around the three-month mark. This time, I joined the fabulous OTI community, and it was just what I needed. The Zooms were a game changer for me, connecting with people who relate and support you through the struggles, but who also really understand and celebrate the importance and the significance of the mini wins and the milestones. OTI is full of amazing people. I'm just approaching 7 months alcohol-free, and I feel absolutely fantastic.
You've heard the podcast, now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It's fab to have you listening wherever you may be on your alcohol-free journey. You might be many, many months, many, many years sober, alcohol-free, teetotal. You might be listening to this right now with a raging hangover. It won't be the first time it happens, and it certainly won't be the last. And you might just be dipping your toes into these sober, curious waters. Wherever you're up to, we're not bothered. It's just really great to have you listening, so thank you kindly. If you are finding us maybe for the first time, a quick introduction or a reintroduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. I am based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. After this summer is over, I will be 7 years alcohol-free. And I know, he's like, woohoo! Even still, saying that out loud blows my tiny mind. So many people that we speak to on the podcast, and so many people within our community, we're all very much in the same boat. We go, right, we're going to take a break from the booze, but we're going to do a little bit longer than a month. And we might do 90 days, or we might go for the year. And then something really weird happens. You start to enjoy it. And you start to unlearn everything you thought you knew about drinking, about binge drinking, daily drinking, however your booze intake looks to you. It can all change. And when I say it's life-changing, it really, really is. Now, at this point, normally, I would say I don't do this on my own. Here's my fabulous co-host, Ben Anderson. Ben isn't with us today, given the events that have happened at the time of recording in Liverpool. Ben is really tied up at work. And so I said, Ben, you crack on, do what you need to do. So it's just myself and this week's guest on Over the Influence. Really, really looking forward to chatting to Kelly Marie, who is based in Ben's neck of the woods, actually, on the Wirral in Merseyside. Kelly is coming up to a year and a half-ish alcohol-free. It all started around your 40th birthday or maybe in the year up to that. Anyway, you can fill us in, Kelly. It's fantastic to have you here. Welcome to Over the Influence. How are you doing?
Brilliant. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So, yeah, I'm a little bit starstruck because I listened to your podcast right back at the beginning of my sober journey. And it really, really helped me. So I'm just like, oh my God, I'm on the podcast now.
And here you are.
So here,
and here
I am.
You are on the podcast. And I love that. The amount of people that we talk to on the pod, Kelly, be they community members that have hit a year and beyond, people that have just got in touch saying, I've listened to the pod and I've changed my life. And you're like, right, you need to share your story because it's so important to hear from people who have been there and done that. Let's start with your day one, or maybe your first week, Kelly, because as we were chatting before we started recording, I said, oh, you've listened to the pod, haven't you? And you're like, yes, I listened to it. I was hungover. Lovely Annie from OTI sort of sent us your way. Let's start there and talk me through that. What did life look like for you at that time?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, my drinking, I wasn't using alcohol, I would say, like in a negative way. I always was kind of conscious to, I just wanted to use it for fun. So, but it was just too much fun. So I kind of, you know, was drinking in my teenage years, you know, kind of partying too early. I've always loved house music. So I've always been in that kind of clubbing, underage clubbing scene. And kind of alcohol and substances went kind of hand in hand with that. But it was always in a kind of fun way. So in my 20s, that was great. And, you know, party, party, party. That took me to Ibiza very young. And then just kind of as I moved into my 30s, I was just thinking, this isn't really the kind of lifestyle. I just wanted to increase the wellness element of my life. So I just decided to start to phase alcohol out. So it would be less every weekend drinking and more just once a month, and then gradually reducing. So that's kind of what I was doing in my 30s. Still a lot of boozing, though, to be honest. Like in the background, it's, yeah, I'd like this to be less, but it was still very boozy. Again, still a lot of fun, but it just got to a point. I was approaching my 40th birthday year, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to do a year alcohol-free. I thought that's going to be my gift to myself, like a self-love. I'm going to show myself that I can do a full year. So that was last year, 2024. My day one began on the 30th of December, 2023, after an extremely Christmas boozy catch up with my friend, Natalie. I was due to be on a plane back to Ibiza, and we had one too many shots and I didn't make the flight, which was quite a normal occurrence. So the next day I just woke up feeling horrendous, and that was it. That was my day one. I was like, I'm starting now. So I was on a train up to Liverpool, listening to the OTI podcast and just, you know, getting all that inspiration from other people. Because all of the different stories that are on the podcast, there's so many different styles of drinkers on there. You know, you don't have to fall into this addiction state to quit drinking, you know. And I think that's kind of what I want to share, is that my reason for doing it was more like a wellness, like just overall wellness, like spiritual wellness, emotional, physical, mental, just everything. And it's just changed my life. It really, really has changed my life in so many positive ways. Like I knew it would be positive, but I didn't realize how beneficial it would be for me and lots of other people.
Yeah, it's crazy that, isn't it? There's a couple of things I want to pick up on. We'll come back to that. And it's, you don't know until you do it.
Yeah.
And you hear people like me on the podcast and Ben and our guests going, it's life changing. It's amazing. And yeah. These opportunities come your way and you feel so much better and life gets so much better. But when you're in the thick of it, however your drinking looks to you, it's really hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to have that hope.
It is. You don't see the light, really. I think kind of when you're drinking, you're in this cycle with it. And it's kind of your normal. I didn't want it to be normal. And it's just, it is like a rainbow appears. Like when you remove that from your life, the space that you create for the universe to kind of fill it up with positive, just positive interactions, positive opportunities, it just changes everything. And it's totally changed my life and what I then went on to do following giving up alcohol.
I want to come back to the point you made, Kelly, about those seeds being planted in your 30s.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. I was really similar to you. You know, drinking was fun and it was just a thing to do at university and in my 20s. And I just started out working in commercial radio and literally would go to the opening of an envelope. You know, there was always some free do on that involved free alcohol.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the best thing ever. But then I did hit my 30s, had a couple of kids then. More and more drinking started to take place at home. Don't get me wrong, I still found time for it at the weekends and I'd still make time to go out. But it was sort of mid-30s. I had that seed planted thinking, I'm drinking more. I'm needing more to get that buzz. But
yeah.
It took me probably the best part of a decade. And for so many other people as well, from when the seeds are planted to actually trying life properly without alcohol, I just find it fascinating because I think we just get to the point at whatever age it might be and you're like, I'm knackered.
I just don't want to do it anymore.
What am
I doing? And, you know, the buzz, it's not even a buzz really, is it? Like it's this perceived buzz, like it's a perceived.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always those first few drinks are great. You know, that kind of the release and, oh, my God, it's the weekend or it's, you know, the end of the day, whatever. But it's very short-lived. You know, the reality of that buzz is that the older you get, consequences of that far outweigh the buzz. And for me, it was just time. I was just like, yeah, I'm ready. And like I said, I was only going to do it for a year, but there was just no question. As soon as I was into it, I was like, no, this is my new normal. I just felt so good, like, no more anxiety, no more poor food choices, no more blackouts. You know, I used to suffer with that quite a lot. I was just so present and so in control of my life and making such positive decisions and just being more creative, which was something that was missing. I was just kind of running on autopilot when I was drinking, like just kind of living life, not stepping outside of the comfort zone. But now I've like really pushed myself and it's really paying off. So yeah, I would recommend it to anyone thinking about it, even just to try, you know, even if you just try a month or a week or whatever it is, just try just giving yourself that break and just see how you go.
Can we come back to talking about blackouts and anxiety and the dreadful way that alcohol can make you feel? It's something that myself and Ben have spoken a lot about on the podcast. In particular, the way we as drinkers and a lot of people refer to blackouts and, oh my God, I had the best night of my life, but I literally can't remember what happened after 11 o'clock. When you break it down and when you start to analyse like the science behind it, why we black out and those memory lapses and, oh crikey, what was I doing at that point? None of it's funny.
No.
Like literally none of it. What was that like for you, Kelly?
It's frightening. And, you know, it used to happen in my 20s, not loads, but it did happen, you know, but it would be complete blackout. And I'd wake up, fortunately, with my friends, go, oh my God, what happened? They're like, nothing. You were just dancing. But I had no memory of it. And as I got into my 30s, the blackouts were happening more frequently, and it seemed to correlate with the kind of more spiritual work that I did. Like the more I've worked on myself and my energy, the higher my energy got, the more I would be affected by alcohol. So it was, I just noticed that correlation. And blackouts were awful, and some things have happened to me that are not good when I've blacked out. And you know, I just was like, what am I doing? Like, this is not okay. It, you know, people laugh. You're like, oh, I didn't remember. And it's like, it's frightening. You know, how did you get home? How did you get home safely? Like, what happened? Like, it, and it's just a horrible, I've apologized to my younger self. Like, I've done a lot of healing work on that and, you know, saying sorry to myself for not, you know, respecting myself and just being so careless. But I think it's just so normalized in social circles that it's part of what happens when you drink. And actually, it's not okay.
And it's not normal.
No,
it's not.
It's not. It's not.
It's absolutely not. What one of the worst things I hear that I really disagree with is that, oh, when you're drinking, you really find out who that person is. And actually, no. it's not who you are, is it?
Not at all. Like, decisions that, you know, I've made or not made when under the influence are definitely not me, because they're not decisions I would have made in my present everyday state. And that's how you know it isn't you. You know, your barriers are down, that alcohol has numbed you and your senses, and you're not making sensible decisions. You're not, it's just a very dangerous place to be in. So I do not miss that at all.
The last 17, 18 months, Kelly, what has that been like for you? Like, really discovering who you are, because I'm still on this flipping journey. We laugh about the J word, the journey, the alcohol-free adventure.
Yeah.
And it's a constant learning process. And if somebody, you know, would have told me this like 8 years ago, you're going to truly discover who you are. You're going to peel back all the layers of that onion and find the true you. I would have laughed in the face and have gone, oh, bore off. What are you on about? But you do, you so find out who you are. What makes you tick, the people you want to be with, how you spend your time.
Totally.
What's that process?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like you said, it's all very, you know, buzzword cliche. Everyone gets a bit like yawn over it, don't they? Oh, yeah, find out who you really are. But it does. I mean, for me, what I found, you know, I thought I really knew myself, but actually it exposes your kind of core wounds. That's what I found on the journey. I've been doing a lot of inner work on myself, and just a lot of kind of self-worth came up quite a lot. And I think that kind of stemmed from, you know, drinking as a teenager in those years where you're meant to be developing your social skills and connecting with people in a healthy way. Me and my friendship group, you know, we're all connecting down the park under the influence, and that you've not developed those social skills. So I think, you know, there was a massive gap there. There was a big void. So I've done a lot of kind of work on, you know, really loving myself and, you know, apologizing to myself for, you know, decisions that I've made, but not beating myself up, you know, just being kind to yourself and just really loving and accepting who you are. And yeah, just kind of pouring that love into yourself and just, yeah, discovering, you know, all the things that you've wanted to do, but you didn't do because you were hungover again, you know, all those promises you make to yourself and the little ideas you have on the back burner, and then they just kind of get pushed to the back. So, yeah, I've just found that my creative side has really come forward, and that is a journey in itself. And yeah, I'm really enjoying that.
Brilliant. We'll talk more about that shortly, because I just can't wait to get into talking about doing what you do in Ibiza sober. Yeah. I mean, that is just, it's just absolutely fantastic. I want to talk more on discovering who you are, because one of the things that I found, Kelly, with removing the alcohol, like, I used to be, oh, it's the party animal, you know, the first to arrive at the bar, first to lead the conga, first to fall asleep and pass out, you know, all the rest of it, first to go and do the tactical chunder and all that disgusting stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, further into sobriety, it was a case of me going, crikey, I'm not actually the party animal I thought I was.
Yeah.
I'm not really the extrovert I thought I was. I mean, I work in broadcasting, so I have got quite a large mouth, and I need that for my job. Mm. So that part of it has remained. But there's other parts now where I am more than happy to sit in the background. I don't need to be in the middle of a dance floor anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need to be the first one doing anything anymore. I'm happy to sit back if we're out. Equally, I'm happy to stay at home these days.
Yes.
You know, the shift has been massive. And again, I wouldn't have found that out had I continued to drink.
Yeah. For me, I class myself as like an outgoing introvert. So I really need to be in the mood. But if I'm in the mood, I'm there. I'm the life
and
soul.
Love that. Yeah, same.
But if I'm like, nope, not feeling it, then I'm in, you know, snuggly night, candles, books, whatever. That's me. So I've always been quite comfortable with that. But what my worry was about giving up alcohol was that because I was such the fun one, oh my God, am I not going to be fun anymore?
Yeah.
And I had this real like fear that people weren't going to think I was fun. Like, and that, oh, I just had this real hang up about it. But what I've discovered is, no, I actually am fun without alcohol. And I do still dance. I mean, at the beginning, it took a little bit to just kind of re-educate yourself to get on the dance floor. But I remember going to my friend's 40th last year, and that was my kind of first big test in my first sober year. Like, oh God, you know, this would have been a super boozy event. It would have been boozy week. And I, you know, I flew back from Ibiza, flew to her 40th, and everyone was like so proud of what I was doing, because, you know, I'm the party person, and it was inspiring. They were like, oh, I really want to do what you're doing, like you've inspired me to make that change. And I was the first on the dance floor, and actually the only one, because everyone else was at the bar or outside smoking or in the toilets doing God knows what. So I it was just me and the kids dancing on the dance floor all night. But it was brilliant. I literally had the best time, and I was like, do you know what, I felt like I'd cracked it then. I thought, if I can do this, then I can do anything. And you have these like little milestone moments. So like then going on my 40th birthday, so we went to Marrakesh, and I was like, oh my God, like going on holiday not drinking and on your birthday. But I did it. Like, I drank zero beers, but it was fantastic. I remembered the whole holiday. We did lovely cultural things, out on camels, living quad biking in the desert. I wouldn't have done any of that because I would have just been hungover and round the pool drinking again. So I've just had a fantastic time. And I'm just, yeah, I just don't miss alcohol. I don't miss it. I look at it in the shops and I don't feel anything towards it. I just think, oh, no.
It's so important. And this is why we do what we do with this podcast, with our community, to let people know that, yeah, in the early days, it's going to feel a bit rank.
Yeah.
It's going to feel a bit shit. I mean, I just put myself away for 6 weeks. I thought, I'm never going out again because what's the point?
What's the
point?
You know,
that is going to be miserable.
Yeah.
That is going to be dull as ditch water.
Yeah.
Fast forward 7 years. So we in the UK, if you're listening to this overseas, we've just had like a 3-day bank holiday weekend, haven't we? So Friday off work, Saturday off. No, not Friday, sorry. Saturday off work, Sunday off work, and Monday as well. So for me, previously, those days would have been spent drinking, and in the run up to it, probably in around the Tuesday. Well, it's nearly bank holiday weekend, so we'll start tonight.
Yeah.
I have just had one of the most fun weekends, like on record.
Yeah.
Going out, socializing, ended up going to this place on Friday night, a place in Preston with some work colleagues. We did axe throwing. We actually did beer pong, which isn't very on brand. However, the drinkers had their beer at the end of the table. Us non-drinkers, and there was a fair few of us, had our alcohol-free cider. We played the games and then we did darts. And all I did all night was flipping laugh. And I still get those waves of gratitude where I will just stop sometimes and go, alcohol would not have made this night for me
totally
any better.
Totally.
Like, literally any better.
Definitely. I totally hear you there. Like, at the beginning, you think, well, no point going out. That's my life.
No, never
over.
Again. Like, never like again. Literally never again.
And it is just re-educating yourself, I would say, around this word fun. You know, you can have fun without alcohol. But I didn't think you could. I just thought no alcohol meant no fun. And that's it now. I'm just a boring person. But that is so not the case. And I just really would love that message to kind of resonate with as many people as possible, that there is so much fun to be had. And it's more fun because you know you're going to remember it. And like, you're so present for it. Like, it's great because you feel it. Like, you're in the moment and you're really feeling it. Whereas with alcohol, I don't know what was going on. Like,
yeah, You think it's fun at the time, don't you?
Yeah.
In fact, again, myself and Ben have had this discussion. We called it the golden hour, and then we narrowed it down to maybe the golden half an hour. And they said, actually, it's the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the first 20 minutes. Yay, it's fun. And then we also sussed out, and this applies to the night out I just had on Friday with some friends from work. It's the people you're with. It's not necessarily that buzz in the first glass or the second glass.
Totally.
So you can remove that, and you're with the right people. You're buzzing. You can feel you've got that natural buzz, haven't you?
Exactly. And it is about who you surround yourself with. And I think that ties into the kind of, you know, being purposeful. So when you're not drinking, you're more selective with your time and how you're spending it. Yeah, it's interesting what you learn, what falls away, and more importantly, what comes into your life on the journey, because it's things that you don't even imagine and foresee.
Let's talk about Ibiza.
Okay.
So I went to Ibiza a few times as a whippersnapper in my clubbing days. Had an absolute ball. Mm. It's on my bucket list to go back and do it sober. Not, it's not happened yet. You've already done this. Let's talk about the contrast from Kelly in Ibiza,
yeah,
as a party animal, and the Kelly that's there now.
Totally. Well, it is a total transformation. I mean, for me, Ibiza, I first went in 2003. I was 19, as I said before, house music lover. So that was, you know, the Mecca. As soon as I landed there, rubbed the ground, I'm home. Like, it was my spiritual home from the minute you land. Anyone that's been, I'm sure, will feel and know what I'm talking about. There is a magic on that island that is palpable. It's just, you have to be there to experience it. But with that, you know, it is a Scorpio island, so there is a lot of debauchery that goes on there, a lot of fun. It's an island of extremes, so you can have, you know, the real pure spiritual, natural, holistic side and wellness, and then obviously the clubbing and all kinds of things that happen in Ibiza. So I've experienced all ends of the spectrum, and what I'm doing now is I wanted to bring something pure and something positive to the island. So last year, so I was still living in Ibiza then, and in the January, I just woke up. I thought, there's something I want to do. Something needs to be birthed. I could feel it. So I went for this big hike over Ibiza town, and I just had this feeling like, I'm going to put on sober events. That's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to create a space for people like me that love house music, love fun, love the sunshine, love to dance, but just minus the substances. So I was like, right, who can I do this with? And my friend had already told me about this guy called the Sober Sommelier in the UK, Alex. And so I just reached out to him and just said, hi, you don't know me, but I've got this idea. My friend says
this is great.
That we're going to really get on. And so, yeah, I'm just putting it out there. Anyway, he responded, was like, oh my goodness, definitely this would be my dream. He's got a whole story, backstory, link with Ibiza anyway. You can hear podcasts about him talking about that. So Sober Sound System Ibiza was born, and that was it. So we've come together and we're putting on conscious events in Ibiza. Rooftop events, but we're doing other pop-ups as well, and yeah, we're just creating a space for the sober community to kind of come together and just party on the party island, and just minus the substances.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. So last year was our first season, so we're doing monthly events. They're the last weekend of every month, and we had, it was a small, like, numbers that came, but quite influential people. So we had, like, Emily from Sober and Social come out, and she filmed content with us. And then we had quite a lot of sober people from the island. So there's a lot of ex-ravers, like, yeah, ex-partiers that live there, you know, DJs, all kinds of people that have quit that lifestyle. So, yeah, we connected in with a lot of people like that on the island. And that's just going to continue to grow. So this year we've got sponsors, so we're able to put it on again. And so we've got the fantastic Newt Drink. So they do wonderful nootropics. And then we've got Zeno Wine. So they are providing our wine and sparkling, which is delicious. So we're back for season two. So we're trying to grow it more this year. So we're just connecting in again with more like wellness influencers, just to try and get the name out there, get people to see that, there is something you can do in Ibiza when you're coming there. So yeah, we're excited, and we're literally, I'm flying there tomorrow morning. So perfect.
You're flying in about 12 hours time, aren't you?
After we've recorded this,
you are off.
12 hours, my flight leaves, off I go.
You won't be missing this flight tomorrow, will you, Kelly?
Definitely won't be missing this flight. This is one not to miss, for sure. So, yeah, kicking off the season, we're super excited. So, yeah, we've got our opening party this Thursday at WOM, which is in Santa Eulalia, which is on the east side of the island. So we're doing it kind of both sides to kind of took, because a lot of people, if they're on one side of the island, they won't come to the other. It's a bit like that there. So we're doing Santa Eulalia One, which is super cool venue on the beachfront in the daytime. And then we're doing our signature venue, which is Aperture in San Antonio Bay. And that's on Saturday evening. So it's like the perfect sunset spot. Like, you come up to the rooftop. So it's like sober DJs playing. You've got veg. You've got the pool. You've got our fantastic bar by the Sober Sommelier. So he curates this beautiful menu using all lovely botanicals, and it's just fantastic. And then
I want to fly out.
You need to come there. You need to be
seriously,
there.
This is the dream.
There's a cocktail waiting for you.
Oh, and amazing.
That's the thing. Like, we wanted to create a space, you know, where you're still getting like a buzz and a connection. So in the drinks, these, you know, the liquids that he's using, there's, I don't know if you've heard of these kind of, you know, different like mood enhancing things like GABA. All of these like botanicals, they give you this feeling like you can have like more calming ones or ones that give you a pep and an uplift. So to be honest, I'm like, are you sure there's nothing in that? Because I'm like dancing around, vibing high, and it's like, yeah, it's fantastic. So it's just really good. And, you know, the connection. My mum has always said this. So she's always said, you don't need substances. The music is the drug. And it's so true. Like, when you're just in the moment, you know, listening, connecting, the sun shining, there's nothing better. That natural euphoria, you have that within you. But I think so many of us from young have masked that with alcohol, that we never accessed it in a pure way. And so now it's like, I'm reconnecting with that natural high, and it's like, whoa, it's really powerful.
Yeah. And you know what? I think, and I include myself in this, so many of us are scared, like literally scared to imagine a life without alcohol. You know, we've talked about the fact we think it's going to be boring, it's going to be fun, we're never going to be out to socialize ever again or having a good time. Once that penny drops, once you have experienced your first big night out and enjoyed it, and it's gone smoothly, and you've got up the following day and you're still functioning like a grown-ass adult, that moment going forward, you know that you can do it.
Exactly.
And then you will be brave enough to come to one of your sunset gigs with, you know, your fancy alcohol-free drinks and your sober DJs. It's incredible, and there's nothing quite like the natural high, is there, and the natural buzz
there is,
and also the feeling of pride that comes with that.
Total
inside.
Pride, like, it makes me really emotional. Like, when I'm there, like, you know, I DJ, so I get to DJ, I'm like opening my own event, this sober space that's bringing people together, just providing a really pure, positive, just bringing something fantastic to the world, and especially to Ibiza. And I just, that would never have happened with alcohol in my life. So I'm just really grateful, and I just want to continue doing this and providing a space for people, you know, even, you know, just sober curious, you know, you can just come along, try something new. You know, a lot of people, you know, are into that zebra striping, aren't they? Like, one drink on, one drink off. And just give it a go, and you'll see how much fun it is. Like, we're all dancing, we're vibing high, we're having an amazing time. You would think, you know, we were on something, but we're just quite high on life.
Just vibing on alcohol-free life.
I love it. It's amazing. It's really cool. Super cool.
And are these events like this is going to nail it for me? Are they in the day?
They're in the day.
We don't have to be out until like 2 a.m.
You can come out in the day, get a lovely suntan, and then you can go and get some food and be in bed by 10 o'clock. Like,
it's the perfect, it's the dream,
isn't it? I know, because I'm a bit into like day parties, which is quite a thing in Ibiza, really. You know, the whole shift from nightclub in that, you know, over the last 10 years, there's been a massive movement to day parties, which is great. You know, I love that. I love a day party. So,
and in terms of demographic, Kelly, it's really interesting. Like you've talked about, you know, I'm sure there are many, many people on the island of a certain age that have been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and they've gone, change of lifestyle for me now. This is what I'm doing. I'm sober. I'm drug free. I'm just enjoying life.
Yeah.
What about the younger people that come?
Yeah.
Like, do you get many people, you know, we'll say maybe in their 20s. I don't really want to give them an actual age, but younger people, like you say, that maybe are sober curious or actually have never drunk anywhere. You know, I'm thinking of my kids there. I've got two older kids, 24 and 22, not massive into drinking at all because there's too much else to be doing.
Yeah, totally. We're definitely seeing that. So like the under 30s, let's just say, massive shift. Like, and it makes me feel really proud. I think, oh my goodness, I'm so glad that they're not living the life that I did. I think it's amazing. You know, lots of, you know, very young people, even 18, 19, oh no, just, you know, not into alcohol, tried it, didn't like it. And I just think that's so refreshing. I think that's fantastic about these generations coming through, that it's just not their normal. And I think that's wonderful. And, you know, and that, you know, having a space like this for people, it brings everybody together. It's like full circle. So, you know, we've got people at our events that are 18, up to, we had, you know, like an 80 odd year old at the event. So it's a whole spectrum. Everybody's welcome. You come as you are. There's no judgment. And we're all just one on the dance floor. So,
I love it. It's so good. I'm just listening thinking, it's got legs. This. Yeah, I can see OTI doing this.
Well,
Kelly, could you have imagined coming full circle? Like, it's a proper 360 moment, isn't it?
Yes.
For being a drinker, clubber, raver, however you want to describe yourself, you know, in your younger years, going to Ibiza, to doing what you're doing now on the party island, the most hedonistic place. And here you are doing it sober and creating sober opportunities for other people, sober socialising.
Yeah, I mean, I don't stop and think about it enough, really. But, you know, saying it like that, you just think, wow, you know, my younger self wouldn't have seen that in the future. You know, I just thought I was going to be a raver till the end in that way. And I am a raver till the end, but just in a purer way now. So yeah, I'm really proud of that, actually. I'm proud of what I've achieved, and I just want to bring more people into the fold. Like, for me, it's about connection. Everything is about connection and community. Like, we've started this off, it's not for profit. Like, we just want to do, it's a social movement. So we want to give back and put something out there that, you know, will be profitable in the future. But that's not the aim. The aim is to bring people together and give people opportunities. So like at the events, you know, we are always on the lookout for other sober DJs. So any sober DJs that want to come and play, we've got some slots available over the summer. So you can just DM me on the Sober Sound System Ibiza Instagram. If you are going to be in Ibiza, or you think, oh yeah, actually that would be a great opportunity for me. So we just want to give as much back to people and just connect in with the lovely sober world, because it is a beautiful community. And that's what I've really loved. Like, it's such a wonderful community. You just make so many friends. Like I mentioned, you know, Annie Knowles, the AF Rainbow Rider, she's such an amazing person, and, you know, connecting me in with you. And then just all of the people that you meet, it's just a wonderful, wonderful world.
Yeah. And it's that word connection. And again, it's something that we bang on about all the time, connecting in whichever way, be it through online communities, sober socials, whatever it is. And, you know, somebody coming to your social in Ibiza that's sober, somebody might be coming for the first time. They might be coming on their own if all their friends are going elsewhere.
Definitely.
And it's like, you're never on your own.
You're never on your own
within the sober community.
We had quite a few solo people come last year, a lot of ladies that came on their own, different wellness groups were coming as well, like people that were on yoga retreats and things like that, which was fantastic. And because also at the events, we have this lovely element. So our wonderful Karen, she's called Indigo Sacred Creations on Instagram. So she creates these beautiful jewelry made of gorgeous stones, and she does lots of kind of spiritual work and blessings on them. And she gives you a reading with each piece. So she'll kind of connect in with your energy and just kind of feel where you're at and feel what you need. And she kind of does a reading for you as well. So many people were like, they were coming away like smiling, crying, but happy. And, you know, it's kind of uplifting people in a really pure way. So there's something for everyone. You're never on your own. You're welcome on your own. Like, I love that. I'm there welcoming everybody. It's just like everybody's coming home. That's how I feel. Like,
I love it.
Come on, everybody. You know, and it's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful space.
If you could summarize the last year and a half, what would you say?
Transformative. Yeah, major awakening, like major awakening. And yeah, just huge growth. And yeah, discovering who you really are. Like, it's the journey to discover who you truly are. And it's funny because I always had that as a banner on a social page, but I really know what that means now. Like, I thought I knew before, but going sober, you truly discover who you really are. And it's a beautiful journey. Not without bumps, you know, not going to lie.
There are sometimes bumps in the road.
In the road, but you know, the bumps are what make it beautiful. It shouldn't be smooth. Yeah. You know, we're all a work of art. We're all kind of, you know, just creation in motion, and we just keep evolving. And you know, tomorrow's another day. You can always choose tomorrow and just choose yourself again and again. So, yeah, it's never too late to become who you've always been. That's what I would say from that.
Amazing. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's flown by.
Oh, it has, Kelly. Flown
it,
by.
It really has. If anybody's listening now and they're thinking, Ibiza, sober, this is right up my street. Where can they find all the information about what you do?
Yes. Yeah, so we're on Instagram. So Sober Sound System Ibiza. So you can find us there, just really simple. And you can just connect in with us, just send us a DM. And I will get back to you personally. So yeah, you're more than welcome. Any questions you've got, any questions about Ibiza, like if you've never been before and you kind of don't know where to stay, what to do, you know, just feel free to reach out. I'm happy to help with that.
Kelly Marie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Lovely to meet you. Thank you for letting me share my story.